Get ready.
Yeah, today.
Please really? Tell me more.
Okay, well, basically, there was someone who pretended to be his, you know how he has that brother or something that's an optometrist?
Yeah.
And he discovered that he was an uncle, like, a few years ago. Well, anyway, this optometrist's daughter, someone is impersonating her on Facebook and persuaded Chris that it was really her. And so, there was this big exchange that got posted on CWC by the person who did this. None of it is all that great, but it's still content, you know?
It's something.
They kind of just gave up because they weren't really getting that much out of it. But
so, is this person, like, still on Chris's friend list or something?
Well, he sent them an angry message after he saw the thread because he monitors the Quickie forum. And probably CWC also. I'm not sure.
I think he said CWC gives him headaches or something.
Yeah, I can't imagine he enjoys reading it, but he's so vain that he, I think, just like reads it and gloats in the fact that they're not getting content. But but today they did get some, and.
Didn't you, like, say something recently, like, how his Sonichu comic is not even owned by him anymore? It's owned by the guy who runs freaking CWC or something?
There was something about that. That was something that someone posted on some Wikipedia talk page or something like that. I don't know if it's true,
What it was is that, I guess, when Chris had the, had his own wiki thing. He, like, I guess he attached the rights to Sonichu there.
Are you talking about the Quickipedia?
Yes, and then he sold the... Well, I guess he gave the Quickipedia to the person who runs the Quickie, and along with it, he gave the rights to Sonichu.
Oh, well, that kind of explains why it's hosted on Sonichu.com now. It's the old comic. There's a few pages that are missing on the Sonichu.com scans, and there's a lot of ones where they have the wrong image on there, and it's like the same image two pages in a row or something. But, the main thing I took away from this new content was that there's, that Chris has an iPhone 4, a PS Vita, and a 3DS. And
all from the taxpayers' money.
Yeah, he got this all from the monthly tugboat.
Bastard.
And I've heard that he gets even more now that Bob has died.
I don't know what Bob's life insurance policy was paying out of that. I assume the man has been working like all his life, so.
Well, Chris always claims that he invented the plastic funnel or something weird. You know what I'm talking about, Josh?
Yeah. Yeah, that was on his obituary, I think.
Yeah.
Wait, are you talking about the plastic funnel that is used to put, like, liquids in your car or something?
I guess. Some sort of plastic thing.
Was that, like, the funnels that, like, people use at, like, frat parties that guzzle beer? There's a lot of uses for plastic funnels.
I think he just invented like a multi-use one for use of anything. We've got a plastic.
Hey, you want to add Andy on the call because he's like, "Hey, I want to get drunk," and I told him I was kind of drunk, and I told him that we were reviewing Geno Cyber.
Okay.
Do you want to add him on? Yeah. So he can just kind of sit in and not really do anything.
Yeah, sure.
I don't care.
He's seen it, right?
No, let's just shock him in descriptions.
Oh, he hasn't. He's missing out.
Oh.
You're gonna have to add him. I don't have him, added.
Let me see if I can try adding him. Oh, it just has no answer.
Oh.
Oh, well. Let me know when you want to talk to us. Alright. Oh. You ready to dive into this freaking Geno-Cybrinome?
Yeah.
So, in terms of Koichi Wahata's anime, is this something preferred that you would show anyone that would be interested in Koichi Wahata anime? Like, if you had to pick, like, one anime you had to show someone from Koichi Wahata, like, would you agree this might be it?
I don't think so, really. It was not like anything else we had seen.
Well, I know that.
That's one way of putting it, yeah.
It's kind of like, Geno-Cyber is like how I view the South. It's like, you have, like, he got his other animes, it's like the stereotypical South. And then there's freaking Texas. And Geno-Cyber's Texas, because it's all on its own. Am I right? I mean, come on.
Maybe. I mean, I think this is more violent than Empty Geist, and it probably makes even less sense. They both end with, like, everything blowing up. And
I mean, this makes Empty Geist look as, like, plot-driven as, like, Fifty Shades of Grey or something. I think Fifty Shades of Grey might have a plot. I don't know. Hang on. I'm going to try to add Andy again.
Oh, well.
All right. Well, we can't add Andy. That's sad. But, oh, well. I never heard back from One Pixel Jump, so I don't know where those guys are at. I know they had a convention they're going to, so maybe they're at that. I don't know.
Mm. Where do those guys live?
I think near Knoxville, Tennessee, so it's like halfway in between Tennessee. That's what the way I'm understood. Because it's like, for them to get to MTAC, it's like a 20-minute drive or something. Mm. Whereas for me, it's like a seven and a half hour trip, and I'm like, nah.
7.5 hours each way?
For me, it is, because wow. I'm in South Carolina. It's like, so for me to get to Nashville, yeah, I think Nashville's the middle of it, and that's like 7.5 hours.
We were talking about Chris earlier. Have you heard the story about how Chris went to Ohio from Virginia to try to rescue Julie from her evil brother?
I have never heard of that.
Oh, well, he thought that her brother was going to kill her or something, so he drove to Ohio to some random address they gave him, and it was just some old woman at the door or something, and he went back all defeated and everything.
And his parents forbid him from ever leaving the Rutgersville area ever again.
Oh, really? Is that why he...
Yeah.
One of the things that's notable about the new content is that he talks about how he really wants to go to New York City to go to the Pokemon Center there.
It's not even a Pokemon Center anymore. It hasn't been for, like, 7 years.
Yeah, I heard that they had a Pokemon Center, but that was, like, freaking forever ago.
Well, it's Nintendo store now. I think there's still, like, a Pokemon Center on the second floor, but it's just the name for the Pokemon toy aisle.
So what is this, like a 6x6 foot square of like Pokemon merchandise he can overpay for, and that's it? Is that what it's become to?
So they have a fake Nurse Joy with like Pokeballs and stuff.
She better be freaking hot. That's all I gotta say.
They probably do in Japan. They still have Pokemon centers there.
Really?
Yeah.
I never heard of that.
I was talking to Curry about this, and she mentioned that in Seattle they have something called Pokemon kiosks at the mall.
The fuck?
And it's full of, like, Pokemon cards and Pokemon games, and it's just a kiosk full of Pokemon stuff, and they have it, like, all over there, I assume, because Nintendo of America is based in that area. But
what is...
Yeah, that is true.
What is this, 1999?
Yeah, that's what I was thinking. I think that's very
best
archaic.
Year of the past 20 years ever. Nothing can ever beat 1999. I mean, freaking Prince wrote a song about it, about how the world's going to end. It don't get better than that.
Well, we've got people who say the world's going to end in 2 months, you know. December 21st, I think, is...
Well, wasn't the world supposed to end like a year and a half ago? That never happened.
Yeah, that was the Jesus thing, but now it's the Mayan calendar thing. there's a new one every year.
So what? Biblically, it's like, see, in the Bible, it's the only person that knows when the world's going to end is God. Not even Jesus knows. So these prophets that go out there and say, "Oh, it's going to end on this day," that's utter bullcrap. So now everyone's referring to the Mayans on when the world's going to end. I'm going to put money down to say that we're going to live past that. And then you got Evangelion, who's going to tell us that, like, apparently now the world's supposed to be effed up and, like, global warming or whatever. So,
yeah, wasn't
then we're supposed to get angels in 3 years.
Wasn't the second impact already supposed to have happened?
It was supposed to happen freaking 2000.
Yeah.
So, it's like the slowest second impact because now, like, global warming has now gradually melted the ice core. And it's taken it, like, 12 years later.
So, like, when
that's piss poor progress.
So when Adam, like, collides with the Earth or whatever, it's not going to be in Antarctica anymore for him to hit or something? Because of global warming, or what's...
I don't know. They haven't made a Tokyo 3, which means they have to make a Tokyo 2 to make the Tokyo 3. I don't know.
Yeah, that's true.
That was one of the questions I asked Tiffany Grant. I'm like, do you expect the world in 2015 to be like an Evangelion? She's like, well... probably not.
There better
be. Like, well, we'll see.
There better be a re-release again of Evangelion by then. You know, that's a good year to re-release it, and they haven't done it.
Hey, when 2015 hits, I'm wearing double ties from Back to the Future. You think you might mock me on that? You think that? No, you're not gonna do it, but I will. I don't care if I'm working or poor. I will get two ties and put them on my neck.
They still have to make like another 20 Jaws movies, also.
Hey, one step at a time, man.
Maybe they'll retroactively count all those Mega Shark movies.
Maybe.
I think we discussed that, so it flows, it kind of balances out somewhere, so.
They were airing all the Jaws movies on one of the HBO channels a few weeks ago, and I watched the first two, but I've heard that 3 and 4 are, like, really terrible.
Wait, no, Nostalgic Critic reviewed the one, I think it was 3D that had, oh my gosh, that actor Dennis Quaid in it, I think. Yeah, that was it. I think it was Dennis Quaid and Lou Gossett Jr. I think that was the 3D one that they were in, like in the late 80s. It's like really bad.
Yeah, and I think the fourth one is supposed to be even worse.
The third one was like a recap of like the first two movies or something, because it focuses around the blonde girl that was the wife of the cop in the first movie.
Huh.
That was the way I understood it from, like, the 15 minutes I suffered while watching on TV, like, 10 years ago. Because I'm like, this movie sucks. So I just changed it to something else.
Yeah.
Probably cartoons. I don't know.
Yeah, well, the first one and the second one had a lot of the same actors. But I think the third one, they had the setting be, like, a SeaWorld kind of thing or something.
Yeah, that was it. I think that's the 3D one. I don't know.
I don't know why the 3D thing is still... I mean, it's a gimmick that's 60 years old, and they are still doing it. It's kind of crazy.
I know, they just haven't learned their lesson. Well, speaking of the world ending, we got to talk about GenoCyber.
Oh, that's right, yeah. It does end, kind of.
Yeah, the world ends, like, a lot in this anime. Like, all the time.
Yeah, at least, like, 2 or 3 times.
I mean, we get to see the Boston side of Hong Kong, which I didn't know Hong Kong had a Boston area. and then, of course, like, then it shows, like, there's a demilitarized zone where, like, the main girl plays with kids, and that ends horrifically. And then it shows, like, 100 years in the future where it's, like, 1885 in the year 2400, and that ends all bad, too.
Yeah, well, that part is all bad. The last two episodes, I mean, it's...
I told you there was, like... Well, no, granted the last two episodes are bad, but there is some really... There's some funny stuff to talk about in those episodes. There's at least some redeeming factors about it. Yeah. So it's like, I'm glad we watched those last two episodes, because we have something to say about those.
Yeah, there is finally some action at the end of those that was pretty good, but...
Yeah. It's really one of those nothing happens, but then stupid stuff happens that, like, you can't help but to pick up. Like, I took barely no notes on those last two episodes.
Those episodes had sort of more of the weird biblical kind of stuff like Pat Labor had, you know? Like, I don't know if it was Tower of Eden, Tower of Babel, or what it was that they kept saying, but there was something.
Oh.
I can't remember what it was.
The difference between the Genocyber and Pat Labor was that Pat Labor didn't have freaking genocide.
Yeah. There's no.
And mass murders.
There's no Hong Kong being evaporated in a text card in Pat Labor.
Yeah, that's true. Oh, man.
Where do we even start with this, you know?
I guess we'll start from the beginning. Like, it starts with, like, a freaking, like, old tape of, like, how they made a machine called the Humanness, whatever the hell. And I don't know. And then it goes straight to a bunch of pulleys picking on, like, a retard.
Oh, yeah, I remember
which is
that.
It's the Bostonian saying, "Is that kid retarded?"
Oh, yeah, yeah. That was the Boston part.
Yeah. Freaking Boston jokes in the freaking chat room.
Yeah.
Or like, Josh was just like, "Pock the car at Harvard Yacht."
I think they said that, yeah. I wish they had said that. It would have been...
This was picked up by Manga Entertainment because it's in the titles. Like, I like how the people in the dubbing actors from manga were like, they want to, like, interpret a different culture of America in each anime that they do. Like, Madball was New Yorkers. Genocyber's is Bostonians.
Yeah.
So, I don't know if they ever cut their, like, southern redneck white trash people.
What's funny
but
is that...
God, I hope they did.
What's weird is that they have, like, a funny accent to work with, because in Hong Kong, people sound British. But they decided to do Boston for some reason.
Yeah, it's like... It's Bungo's Entertainment's from Britain. Why don't they just, like, don't act, talk normal, and then it would just fit fine? Because Britain used to own Hong Kong anyways. I mean,
yeah.
Hong Kong's pretty much its own nation. It's, like, I think it has succeeded from, like, China. It's, like, not even part of the... They're sharing a border, but it's, like, its own country or something.
They probably think their accent can't be funny, you know? Like, they say, oh, we're British, or our accent's normal. Oh.
Let's try to sound American in Hong Kong when Hong Kong is not clearly in America, except for, like, Chinatowns, which those are few and far between.
At least Madball was appropriate, you know? Like, that's set in New York.
Yeah. Madball is its own thing, man.
Like, I can't imagine that with non-New York accents, you know?
Yeah. I don't know. There was, like... Because, like, what was it? Like, you have, like, the factors in this where it's, like, you have the scientist, and then you got the little girl who is related to the girl, or the girl with the short hair that, like, is a robot or a cyborg or whatever.
Wait, are you talking about the wolf girl?
Yeah, the wolf girl.
Okay.
Because, like, the wolf girl, for some reason... like, bonds, like, with the girl, her older sister, who's got the short hair, who's basically a robot. Because the wolf girl is the one that was, like, what was it? Not really an aborted fetus or anything, but, like, it showed her crawling out of the vagina. Like, they put a camera in the vagina, and you see her hand coming out of it.
Yeah.
Because the older sister was the one that, like, didn't have any limbs that worked, or something. Whatever.
Someone warned about that in the YouTube comments, and I was like, are they joking? And then they actually show, like, from inside of it, and you see the muscles spasming, and it's real gross.
That is clearly a vagina.
Yeah.
From the inside. Oh, man. I wonder if it's, like, it's funny that you mentioned that, because I remember in Family Guy, we're like, what was it? Stewie was planning world domination inside, like, Lois's vagina or something.
Oh, yeah.
Like, did he write on, like, the inside of her womb, like, inside of the vagina wall or something? He was, like, writing out different countries or whatever. I don't know.
Was that the Fantastic Voyage parody episode?
I think it's one of the earlier ones, like, the first season or something.
Yeah, I think I remember this. There's one where they, like, There's like another Stewie, and they have to go inside of Lois's body or something. I think it might have been from that one. I don't know.
Anyway. You know, like Stewie goes inside of Peter's body, and he meets his that other kid. That's like basically the exact same way as he is.
Yeah, that's the one.
Stewart. Yeah, I think it was like no, man. I don't remember.
Who cares? It doesn't have anything to do with this.
Yeah, people seen enough of Family Guy. They'll know that. Yeah. I think it was Stewart or something.
That's
who knows?
That's an episode that's been rerun for 12 years or something on Adult Swim.
A bajillion times. People have seen it. They own DVD collections because they're that stupid. So, yeah. I don't know. Like the scientists have, but the factions of this was like the scientists. There's a scientist, and there's like these cyborg bounty hunters or something, and then there's like the wolf girl, and then like the kid, and then like the bullies that are the Bostonians. And those are the only factions that are like ever exist in Hong Kong. And they have the police, but they don't do anything.
Hey, they all die, right? Everyone.
Yeah, well, you had the one detective dude that was like pinned on the bed, and like they basically like cut him open to dissect him. And he looks down, and he sees like all his intestines like sitting in front of him. He just screams.
Oh yeah, I remember Josh had some scene that he compared that to. The Shaman King, I think.
What?
You know, the scene where the guy was being cut open, you had something that you compared that to in the chat. I think it was Manta being cut open in
Shaman King. From Shaman King, where Manta was being cut up by Faust, I think.
Yeah, the blonde guy.
Yeah, you could see, like, his own rib cage and everything. It was kind of like that. Except a lot more disturbing, obviously. But
yeah, because I think Shaman King was kind of intended for, like, I don't know who this is intended for, but Shaman King is like kind of a shonen thing.
Yeah, I don't know what the market is or who they're trying to promote Genosaur to, other than like, oh, otakus will eat up anything from anime because it's OVA and it's like $600 for one VHS tape because yeah. They have to get it. That was how it was in 1993 or when Vince came out.
We should mention one of these episodes. Was it two? Was it three?
Three.
Three.
Halfway the one where through. It ended after like 10 minutes.
Yeah.
Like
okay. No, I think the person who like because we saw this on YouTube, so I think the person who like did that they might have done it intentionally because I remember seeing Genocyber and it was not I don't remember the third episode being like that.
Really?
Like at all because it was I don't know why he cut it like that. It doesn't make any sense. But.
No one in the comments. Well, there were only a few comments on that video, but it was. He didn't explain why he did it in the description or anything. It was just weird.
I don't know. Yeah, that. I don't know if he's like trying to avoid like YouTube from finding out, but whatever. I mean, YouTube has freaking Wicked City up on the internet. I mean, that it.
I just no have excuse. To imagine, you know, what Josh said in the chat about some Japanese guy buying this and. Being like infuriated that he spent like $50 on it or whatever.
Yeah, for an 11 for like half an episode, then like he'll if he keeps it going, he'll realize that the rest of the episode is like there, and it's like, why does this cut up?
Yeah,
I think that something the YouTube person just did. I don't know why.
Even
because when I saw it, I know it wasn't like that at all.
Even the full episode, though, I mean, OVAs are so overpriced. I don't know how that's a successful market at all.
Maybe, yeah.
Yeah. And then you factor in something like Legends of what was that one series? It's like that was like 110 OVAs.
Oh,
Legend of Galactic Heroes.
Yeah, yeah. I don't even know how that managed to get that far.
Yeah, that's
dude.
One of Laserdisc those
box sets of that are go for like $300-$400 still. It's insane. I mean, even though that is on Laserdisc,
it is in America or.
Not in America, no. This series has never been in. I mean, like, if you import it or whatever, but.
Oh, so that's not even like licensed.
I've got the whole series on my external hard drive. It's like 25 gigs, and I've only seen it to like episode 8. Hmm. But then they made like compilation movies of this series, so like you might as well watch that for Legends or Galactic Heroes.
Yeah, maybe.
Yeah.
Someday we should do the Yamato movies. I have all those on VHS.
Okay. I've only seen the first one, which is like a compilation of the first series. That was like 2.5 hours long. That took me like 3 nights to watch because I kept falling asleep.
Yeah, I'm tempted to skip that first one because I've already seen Star Blazers, which is probably mostly the same plot. I don't think they changed it too much.
Oh yeah, this anime has like a computer, like it's not really, it has computer graphics, but it's like computer graphics from, like, it reminds me of like watching an intro to Sliders or something back in the 90s. But then also they did like stop motion animation with like cockroaches.
Oh, yeah.
Like where she has like the army of ghost cockroaches, the wolf girl, like when they're in the subway. And then the guy is just like, oh my god, the cockroach is going to eat me. And he like rips his brain out.
Yeah, this is a really gruesome show. I think Cloud mentioned in the AIM chat one time that his sister was watching this. do you remember that? That was...
I don't remember this.
Yeah, well, he said, oh, I got home and my sister was watching Genocyber on my laptop. And then you and him talked about it, and then I said, well, we should probably do a Koichi Ohara month. This sounds pretty good. But,
I don't remember him saying that. Like, I've known I want to do a Koichi Ohara month for, like, a long time.
Yeah.
Even, I think, I came up with the idea, like, with our last podcast.
Yeah. We've got a lot of backlog.
I'm glad we have a lot of backlog, because at least we'll never run out of material.
Yeah, that's true. I mean, I guess there's only so much 80s and 90s anime, but we'll last a little while longer, at least a few more years.
Yeah, we still got the rest of Fist to discuss.
Oh, that's true. I've been reading the...
And like we cover movies and stuff, so like we'll possibly never run out of material.
Yeah. I've been reading the Fist manga, and I'm up to where there was the fake Toki, and then he just, like, I think he died. And then they just showed the real one.
Was that the guy that got eaten by the dogs, or was that a different guy?
No, the fake Toki was the other guy that, like, would practice the same art, but, like, he apparently, like, in the anime, like, he used his own techniques on himself to make himself stronger, but Ken's just like, dude, you're dumb as hell. Like, you're gonna explode, and he did.
I didn't mean to
spoil that for you, but no, that's kind of what happens in the anime.
I already saw that guy die, but okay. I had, like, forgotten. Because almost every person dies from Ken punching them and saying, you're already dead, you know?
You know, sometimes Ken doesn't have to touch anyone. He just looks at them and they die.
That's true. Well, I assume when that happens, it's like in DBZ where they say, like, he's too fast for the camera, you know? Like, I assume he's doing something at super speed or something, but...
Oh, dude, don't get me started on DBZ physics, man, because I've already got estimates that I've had in my head for, like, 12 years now that how I think everything works.
Oh, that's right.
We discussed it on the AIM chat, like quite a few times in the past few years, but...
Yeah, you mentioned that to
Deku. That is, like, a whole other discussion there.
Yeah, you thought everything was, like, in slow motion or something. I seem to remember.
It's like if you get powerful enough... you'll, like, get super strong, and then also, like, I think they lay out the episodes where it's, like, I don't know, it was, like, everything they show in the episodes, it happens in the same time frame, but they just, like, it's shown in a different way, like, you know, you fill up 26 episodes of the same 3 or 4 minutes, just happening in different events at a certain period of time.
I know what you're saying.
Certain places. Like that's what I think is happening.
On Frieza's during the Frieza fight, they showed like what's going on King Kai's planet, and what's going on Earth, and what's going on Namek, and they kind of switch around, and so it's not 20 consecutive minutes. I know what you're saying.
Yeah, like, but every time they do it, it's just like, I wonder if Goku is still fighting Frieza, and then like they go back to it 5 minutes later, like, I hope Goku's okay.
Yeah. And then even on Namek, they switched between Goku versus Frieza and then the Bulma Ginyu crap.
Oh, yeah.
which they even kept in Kai for some reason.
Yeah, that's what I was about to say. That's amazing to me that they kept that in Kai, where that's like the most hated filler of all, you know? Everyone says that's the worst filler, and they still kept it. I think because they put that character like on the sidelines during like the Goku versus Frieza fight, And I think they didn't want it to just be like, oh, here's a frog talking like Bulma, you know? So they had to explain it, but it was so, it's so stupid, you know?
Oh, yeah.
Anyway, where were we in Genocyber?
I don't know. We're kind of skipping around. Like, okay, I'm looking at my notes, and they're like, what was it? The main scientist guy. It's like this dude with a Texan mustache. He's bald on the top, but has like an awesome, like he's got like an '80s mullet, and that's like the head of the research department or something. And then like when the wolf becomes friends with the kid that was being bullied, and they said he was retarded, like they come back to him, or they no, like the bully dudes are meeting up with their boss, and like in the street, and they all sound Boston, or from Boston. And like I keep thinking this anime is like the anime version of like The Departed or something. Because I'm thinking like Johnny or Leonardo DiCaprio's like, you're going to chop me off and feed me to the genocidal?
I can't imagine mobsters versus this
crazy Jack killer Nicholson's robot. Yeah, Jack Nicholson in charge is a scientist in charge of the whole genocyber project. Yes, and I compared The Departed with genocyber, which The Departed is basically the Asian film to Internal Affairs, in case you guys didn't know that, which I have seen. No, like they meet up with the kid and like in the like abandoned apartment or whatever, and then like they start molesting him and like, hey, this kid's got a bulga for his girlfriend.
God, yeah, that was terrible.
It's like they rip his pants off, but they just start
they just start fondling him. It was.
It was really disturbing. Like, these guys, they must have helped Sandusky at Penn State or something during a semester. I don't know, but
the kid ghosts in episodes 4 and 5, were those the ghosts of these kids from the earlier episodes?
No, those are the kids that were in the second episode where like she's playing with them in a demilitarized zone. And then those helicopters show up, and they just get, like, their brains blown out and decapitated.
Oh, I kind of remember that. Bullets. Yeah.
Yeah, like, no, the first kid gets, a bullet in the head, but then, like, his skull gradually just breaks apart, and his brain just kind of, like, flutters out of his skull. Because then they show those dead kids, like, at the very end of the third episode to, like, haunt the scientist dude or something. I don't know.
Yeah. On my anime list, they were recommending that if people like Genocyber, they should watch Violence Jack. Is that even more brutal than this?
Violence Jack is much more brutal than this. Like, the uncensored Violence Jack, there's stuff in it I don't even want to see again. Like, I've seen it once, and I'm like, that is enough. I can't even enjoy it if I watch it a second time.
Wow.
But that's how I feel about it. Let's see. What? Let me just look at these notes here. Oh no! Like one of the cyber dudes, like when they go to the, they try to stop the wolf girl and like what was it? The train. You got like the cybernetic dudes. Like you got the one dude on top of the building. He uses his legs. Like he starts rapidly drilling like through the building to get to the subway. Like he was on top of a building, and it looks like he was like doing a military stop, but it was like 500 stomps a second. And then he just stomps his way all the way down like 3 sub basements to get to the subway to stop the subway train. Which is where they get to the guy where like the wolf girl uses the cockroaches on that dude to to freak him out. And then there's so much stuff to talk about, but
so did we explain like the basic plot, like why the wolf girl is a wolf girl or anything?
I'll see what I can remember. They're part of like whatever I could like halfway guess and pay attention to. It was like because they're sisters, like the wolf girl and then the girl with the short hair becomes the robot. Because they fight on the hospital roof or something, and then the wolf girl gets stabbed in the hand where she winds up dying, but then she fuses her way inside the robot girl, her sister, and that forms the genocyber in some way. And I'm serious because I know for sure that is exactly what happened.
Okay.
And I was sober when I saw this. And I wish I was drunk.
I've read the manga too, and it's kind of different, actually. it was mainly about this guy who was doing experiments on those two girls. And I think he was in this, but not very much.
Okay.
But he, like, experiments on them and then makes them into the Genocyber or something. For the military, yeah, no, I think.
Well, like, when the wolf girl gets stabbed in the gut or something by, like, the robot hand, like, I like how Josh's comment mentioned, like, it was, like, a nuclear period. Because like, all this blood came down and then, like, 50 city blocks just, like, evaporated for no reason. And what happened.
Was that the same point where there was, like, that plane and they were like, can we land yet? Can we No, keep circling. Keep circling. No, everything's gone to hell down here.
That was episode one, I think.
That was the first episode, but that was, like, I think that happened before the plane thing. Because, like, they had to go back to the research lab and those, like, mercenary dudes are taking them away for some reason. And then, like, they put him in a van, and then, like, apparently, like, they fuse together, or she's dead, or she puts her subconscious in the older sister, and they form the Genocyber, or something. But, no, Josh, then the Genocyber, like, they get in the middle of the city, which is when the plane's like, hey, it looks like hell down there, can't we land already? And, like, and then the Genocyber happens, but then, like, the cybernetic dudes... Like, everyone's favorite quote in this anime is, what the fuck? They say that all the time. So then, like, as soon as the Genocyber appears, they're like, WTF? And then they transform into these weird cybernetic beings. Like, one grows, like, a giraffe neck and grows a minigun out of its mouth. And it's funny that they mention that because as you're watching, you're going, what the fuck?
Yeah.
Because that was my initial reaction when I first saw this. I was like, this anime points out how I'm feeling about it right now. This is great.
Yeah, I think the dubbers kind of realized they've got something totally insane, so why not make it totally, like, cheesy and over the top?
I think they were, like, dubbing this, and, like, they saw the scenes, and they just kept saying, what the fuck? What are we dubbing here?
Yeah, they didn't even write a script. It was just their reactions.
Yeah, there was just like the whole anime had no script. It was just like based on reactions, which that is raw anime dub acting right there.
I think this is what's happening here. You know, like.
And they're like, I think we need to go after the Geno. What the fuck?
Yeah.
I don't know if it was same plane, but in episode 4 and 5, there was like a plane that was flying around too, I seem to remember.
Wait, they had a plane in that? I thought like all they had was train technology because there was no planes invented or something.
Maybe that was... Wait. I don't know. We watched 2 through 5 in one night, so it all kind of blends together.
It's all almost about the same.
Yeah, even the last two, which were like different, some of it is still the same to me.
Yeah.
Because it still had the Genocyber. I don't know what the Genocyber was in those. It was like... some evil machine that was wiping out all the cities around the world or something. I don't know why, but I don't really get the plot of those last episodes.
Well, and then apparently, like, the Genocyber crashes, like, one of the cybernetic dudes or something into the plane that was circling around. And then apparently, like, they have, like, this thing where... Wolf Girl is talking to the ghost of the boy that she liked, and then his corpse is hanging up on the building, and then she just loses it, and then there goes Hong Kong.
Yeah.
And then, like, the caption was, like, Hong Kong just mysteriously vanished in the thin air, and then it just ends. And then I copied Josh's quote from the chat where he said, this went from horror to, oh my god, what is going on?
Yeah.
That was the greatest caption ever. Just, Hong Kong mysteriously vanished.
I'm like, that's not what I just saw.
Yeah.
Yeah, that wasn't very mysterious.
That wasn't anything mysterious at all. The anime itself is mysterious, but I saw for sure that the Genocyber got pissed off and blew shit up. And just blew stuff up. But
wasn't the explosion like in the shape of like a bird or something? Or am I misremembering it?
Man, I don't even know about that.
Right. Hey, do you know what all that stuff was? It's not really techno babble because they're talking about Vajra and You know, they kept having like all these technical explanations.
How they're relating like the machine stuff in the beginning of the episode. Well, they mentioned that throughout the whole anime anyway, so...
Yeah, but I don't know what it is. I mean, I'm taking a class about Southeast Asia, and they kept mentioning like terms that I hear in there, like Mahabharata or something.
So the terms that they actually use in this anime, you're learning that in class?
Well, I don't know if I've heard Vajra, but there was another one that they kept saying too that was like an Indian word. And I've heard it too. Let me look it up. I'll mention it later.
All right, we'll just put it in the chat notes. So then anyways, we get to the second and third episodes, which is anything past the first one is toned down. But
I wouldn't really say toned down. I mean,
the gore is cranked up to 15 on a scale of 10.
Yeah.
But in terms of like stupid, I don't know, it kind of made more sense, kind of. Because after like they, like apparently the wolf girl is with some kids and like on the shore of a dune, like in a military like war zone, and they all die, and she turns into the Genocyber and blows up helicopters. And so then she gets rescued by like a naval pilot or something. And then, like, they apparently, like, crash land the plane because, like, they're testing out, like, this new cybernetic being who apparently can, like, hook up a bunch of, like, tentacle tubes to a plane and fly it that way, which reminds me of Macross Plus with Gold. Because, like, Gold had, like, psychic or kinetic abilities, and he was able to fly his VF-21 like that. But this is, like, a stupider version of that.
So the other term was mandala. But I don't really know mandala. I don't know what it means in this show. In Southeast Asia, it's like a temple or something that's like the center of the empire, but that has nothing to do with this show.
Because yeah, I don't think they spent a lot of time researching what they're going to throw in the show.
Yeah.
That's kind of how Japan did stuff back then. I think they still do it now, where it's like, hey, let's look at like a brief synopsis on a religion, and we'll take out just random names from it and name our characters and science stuff into an anime, and then we'll try to like not focus around it entirely, and then people will think it's like really deep when it really isn't.
It's like the crosses in Evangelion. Everyone like makes that out of, what does that mean?
Evangelion, it's got a lot of Christian themes in it, but it's not panned out so well. Evangelion is its own thing. I mean, granted, Evangelion is miles ahead in appeal compared to Genocyber in terms of showing it to an anime fan. Anime fans want to prefer Genocyber over Evangelion, which, you know, I'm cool with that. So
they put a lot more thought into Evangelion than this thing.
Yeah, they did. I mean, well, I don't think, because Evangelion came from, like, you know, Anno being, like, depressed, because the people who do anime depressed usually crap out something pretty good out of it most of the time.
Yeah.
Tomino, on the other hand, it's just like, okay, well, that's Tomino at its worst, on his bad day.
I don't know. I think Happy Tomino is even worse, because that's when you get double Zeta, and... I don't think that's any better than Zeta or Victory, which he did when he was depressed.
Yeah, I love it. I enjoy Victory, so... I don't know. I don't think Koichi Ohada was depressed at all when he made this. It's just like, you know, screw it. I'm just going to take some acid and write down my notes and just go on a drug trip and I'll see where that takes me. And then he comes into the week and he's like, guys, I kind of read this manga while tripping on acid, and I've got the anime set. Yeah. We are good. We got this in the bank.
This is one of these things that devolves into like a bunch of like psychedelic violence, like almost like Super Jail, in that it's like just explosions and violence and gore everywhere.
So, like, would you say like Genocyber is a more animated version of Super Jail?
In a way, although it's more serious than that, but...
Well, I mean, like, better animated, let's say. Yeah. Not in terms of, like, changing its, like, content, because Super Jail is gory enough as it is, but, like, if it was better animated... this would pretty much would turn out to be Geno Cypher in some ways.
Yeah, that and Dead Man Wonderland are as close as anime Super Chails as you're going to get.
Yeah. Well, I mean, what we saw on TV for Dead Man Wonderland is actually, like, not the worst I've ever seen. So
yeah.
And even being on TV, it was kind of toned down.
But, I mean, Dead Man Wonderland has, like, the warden and the jail and all this other stuff that...
Yeah, so a lot of people are like, oh, man, it's Super Chill the anime. It's like, I guess.
Yeah.
So?
They both have jails.
They both have a hot chief warden girl with big boobs.
Ugh. Well,
except in Dead Man, she's a lot hotter than Alice.
And she's not a man.
Yeah, and she's actually a woman. That's right.
She doesn't have a 6-inch package in her panties.
I almost got nightmares after seeing the Super Jail season premiere.
Oh,
you know what I'm talking about.
The jackhammer scene. And stuff.
Yes.
Oh, is that where she's like nailing the girl warden from the prison?
Yeah.
Oh, man.
I think I briefly saw that, and I think I like changed the channel or something. I'm like, this crap, stupid as hell.
I saw you guys commenting on that in the chat.
No, it was just like, well, everything was just like. You have to sit in, it's like, I have to do a woman's job for a man or something. And she gives her, like, the best sex of her life. She's like, no, never work out. But we're not talking about Super Jail. We're talking about Geno Cypher. And I don't know. Like, really, it's like nothing really happens a lot. Like, it's like the pilot of the plane, you know, obviously, like, kind of wigs out. And then the Navy people blame the scientist dude. And then apparently the wolf girl is like the new daughter for the ship nurse on the Navy boat, which apparently the anime explains that, like in the third episode, that apparently the wolf girl is the reason why her daughter's dead, because the Geno Cypher crash landed to the plane from the first anime, and then the Navy nurse daughter like fell out of the plane screaming for help. And
so
I'm like,
much
whoa.
For so much for circling the plane.
Yeah.
That pilot was dumb trying to land in Hong Kong. Like, they're like, did you not see what was going on down there? Like, pick another airport or crash land in the ocean. You have a better chance of living. But
maybe that's just a standard thing that goes on every day in the world of Geno Cypher.
Yeah. It's a hard knock life for pilots.
Oh, I just realized I've been recording this on the anime bonsai episode at the end of that one, which I think I was supposed to put Steve's thing at the end of that one rather than this.
Dude, F it. I'll tell you what, just send me what you have after this, and I'll just split it up.
Oh, okay.
I'm cool with it, because like, you have my anime, my bonsai, you're talking about the Bonsai Con coverage I talked about?
Yeah, BonsaiCon, not Anime Bonsai.
Yeah, I'll take those two from you, and then when Steve comes, when we get Steve on, we'll just start up a new recording that way. So
okay.
And when they send me this, I'll just split up the two, and I'll work on them eventually. So
yeah.
I'm glad you pointed that out, though. But it wouldn't have mattered. I mean, like, it's no big deal. So
yeah.
I don't know, really, like, they made a pass from the boat, and then, like, apparently at one point, like, the Geno Cypher fights with the cybernetic guy because the girl breaks in, because she's, like, she's on one of those, like, razor, like, those razor scooters or whatever they used to sell, and she's just kind of running around the ship, and she winds up in the scientist room with the cyborg dude, and then they fight, and it kind of ends with that, sort of, because, like, and apparently, like, I think the robot dude tears off the wolf girl's Geno Cypher armor, and it turns into like this giant cockroach armor or something that the scientist meets in the third episode, like through the air ducts or whatever. But of course, like the second episode ends with them like talking about a narration for the next episode.
Hey, is the Geno Cypher
and it's like a Batman the TV series kind of way. What
is the Geno Cypher supposed to be, the protagonist or like the villain? I don't really know.
I don't know either. I think it worked the same way as like MD Geist, because MD Geist was like, I guess he's the hero, and he's like a giant dick at the end.
Yeah.
Because he really Death Force. So it's like, oh, so he's not the hero. Okay, then.
It's one of those things where you kind of like, because it's named after the person, you kind of are like supposed to root for them, I guess, even if they're like evil. Like a lot of monster movies or whatever, you know. Like people watch Dracula for Dracula. They don't watch it for Van Helsing.
Yeah, it's like I don't know, Cybernetics Guardian was like one of the ones where like the Cyguard or whatever it was called, like, was actually the hero in the end. So that was something that was, I don't know if like Koichi Arai was just like, I guess I can try this out to make the main person a hero instead of not a hero. We'll see how this goes. But then it wasn't as entertaining.
Yeah.
So he's like, no, I'm going to revert back to my old ways. I'll make Geno Cyber. And Geno Cyber is just going to blow up the entire world because that just makes perfect sense.
Have you seen that thing, Birdie the Mighty?
I haven't seen that yet.
I'm thinking that we should do that someday, too, since that's Ohada.
Really? He worked on it?
Or wait, no, that was not Ohada. That was the other guy that we did.
Obari?
No. Who was it that we just did a month? Kawajiri.
Yeah.
Kawajiri, that's right.
I know he did X the TV series and worked on that. It's on Netflix. I think it's still on Netflix. I just haven't gotten around to watching it yet. All right. Well, I guess for the third episode, like the version we saw on YouTube, like it ended, it was like 11 minutes long and in the credits and then a bunch of boring stuff that happened, like led up to the last end of it. I don't know, like pretty much like the third episode falls into they meet up with like, no, like they meet up on the deck of the boat because a bunch of crap happens. Or like apparently the ship gets taken over by the bean or the arm or whatever. And then because of the doctor dude. And then apparently like, but by the time the wolf girl and the ship nurse get on the deck, like the doctor or the scientist dude is already like somewhat fused himself with the ship or with Bean or something, and then the nurse girl like chaps an axe in his head, but then he pukes out his intestines, and then he freaking like turns into this other Bean or something, and then the wolf girl turns into the Geno Cyber and then blows up the whole ship or something, or like they rescue the nurse girl because then like the Geno Cyber dives into the ship, and then it's like they've trapped all the crew mates. Like, kind of the same way they did in Aliens, where, like, the xenomorphs are tied to the walls. And there's this giant head in the middle. And then, like, the Geno Cyber goes, like, right at it. And, like, the ship just blows up.
Yeah. I don't really understand. Like, what is the giant head? Is there...
I don't know. Like, the giant head kind of reminded me of the first episode of Bubblegum Crisis, where, like, Aqua City turns into, like, a giant boomer. And then Pris flies right down the giant boomer's mouth to shoot at the boomer that's inside of like the stomach because it's the central control boomer, and she shoots like 800 times, and then like it just blows up. That's pretty much what happened in this. So I don't know. But so then like we get into like the fourth and fifth episodes, which is like the boring parts because like it starts out like where the Geno Cyber's like blowing up the entire world for no reason other than like I think everyone else is trying to blow the Geno Cyber up, so he's like, well, if you're gonna blow me up, I'm just gonna blow up your world then. And it happens, and then happened, and then like apparently like the show, like there's a Toltarianism or communist section of like the middle of nowhere and like the year 2400 that can only be accessed by train because it's 1885 or something. And we meet, like, this guy and his blonde girlfriend and the circus people because he throws knives at her. And then they explain exposition about how they're going to raise money to get her eyesight while they're having sex.
Yeah, that was one of the best parts. They were, like, she was, like, doing it, and at the same time she was like, oh, I can't wait until you get the money for the surgery. And it was yeah.
But then it's like the guy who's leading the government is like there's a bunch of these rebels and like they're the religious group that worships the Geno Cyber. And then like, oh no, like he calls his second command Redneck.
Oh yeah.
Or Ratneck.
It
sounds like Redneck, and it's like the most hilarious thing ever.
Yeah, that was the best part, is he kept saying, Redneck, you have failed me. Redneck, what do you think of this religious cult?
Man, religious bunch of dumb son bitches, I'll tell you what, man. Hell yeah, I'm gonna crush him with my football for. But, like, he doesn't sound redneck at all, which I'm sad about that.
Yeah, if they were going to do the American accent stereotypes, they should have taken advantage of it. Yeah,
they covered Boston's. So why not do rednecks? Come on, Manga Entertainment. You really dropped the ball on that.
Yeah.
But no, like apparently, like what was it? Like the guy gets a job, and then because he throws knives at crap or walls at like blindfolded because he's so good at that, and they wind up killing a dude, which they wind up escaping the city, and they wind up going like to the bottom of like the slums because like my whole time watching this, it's like the way they arrive to the station and like how everything's played out. It's like, wait, this is Final Fantasy VII. And I'm like, okay, well, there's going to be an Avalanche group, which is like the Rebellion, kind of. And then the blind girl becomes Aerith in the second episode.
I wonder
because she winds up being like the religious leader or something, or the flower girl. I don't know.
I wonder if the guys who made Final Fantasy VII had seen this.
They were big fans.
Yeah,
they're probably like, I think the best part of Geonosaur, it was like the train part, and we'll just put that in our game. Because that'll just work completely.
Yeah.
And they made Final Fantasy VII, which is like the most greatest overrated Final Fantasy game out there. So I still got to play and beat that whole thing. I've played it, and it's been a long time since I've played it.
They were thinking.
I got as far as the Chocobo Racing and the Circus Town, and then my PC version crashed, so I haven't been able to play it since. But I own a physical copy. It can work on my PS3. I just got to sit around and just play it.
Yeah, I have the PC version too, but I haven't played it. I don't know if my PC is hooked up now anyway.
Yeah, because like the PC version, it was like if one disc messes up, like you can't play the rest of the game.
Oh, really?
Yeah, like I even tried making a burnt copy of it. Like this was freshman year of high school, so this is like 2001, 2002 when I did this. And I figured, okay, I could just burn it, and it might work that way, and it didn't. So I'm like, whatever.
How many discs are there?
There's four for the PC version.
Man. That's kind of crazy how those
games... There's like three for... I think there's three for... No, there's four for the PS1 version.
Really?
Yeah, pretty sure.
Huh. Yeah, I see the PS1 version at Bookman's a lot, but it's like one of the most expensive games they have. I don't know why.
How much are they listed for?
They have it for like $30 there or something. That's a lot for their Dude,
that is a lot cheaper than what it used to be like 5-6 years ago. That sucker would sell for like $100 easy.
Yeah. Well, that's a pretty cheap store generally, but most of their games are only like $8 or something.
Dude, what was it? I think like 3-4 years ago, I found the original Persona game for the PlayStation for $30. And I found two copies of it, and I kept one of them. And I sold the complete one on eBay for like $80 or $85.
They have a Saturn game that's $100. It's not Panzer Dragoon Saga. It's something else.
Oh, $100 for Panzer Dragoon Saga would be like a steal, dude.
Yeah.
It wouldn't be that. Is it like Burning Rangers or like Magic Knight Wraith or something?
It doesn't sound like either one of those. I think it's an RPG.
Shining in the Wisdom, Dragon Force.
What was the one before Dragon Force?
Shining in the Wisdom.
It could be that.
I have a copy of that, but I played it for a few minutes and wasn't fond of it, so.
Oh.
I know that one sells for quite a bit, I think.
Are these ones that are expensive just like the last ones they made, or?
Kind of, sort of, maybe. Like, I think the last Saturn game made for the States was Panzer Dragoon Saga. Working Designs only put out like 15,000 or 20,000 copies of Magic Knight Rayearth, I think.
I think it's called Albert Odyssey.
Oh yeah, I've heard of that. I don't own that one, but I've heard of Albert's Odyssey. I haven't played it or anything, so I wouldn't really know offhand.
Yeah.
I don't know, man. Geonosaur, like, it pretty much ends with, like, well, the second episode, like, she becomes the religious cult leader for some reason because the priest, like, I compare this to the anime version of Metropolis. the Fritz Lang Metropolis movie, because it pretty much works out where, like, she's become the blonde girl and like a society that's run by like a maniac, basically, who's killing people. And so, like, she's going to be the mediator between the hand and the heart.
Yeah. Even though Metropolis was missing, like, half the scenes, the version that I saw, I think it still made more sense than this.
Oh, yeah, completely. I don't know if Kubuki Ohata, like, saw it in relation to this, but I noticed it offhand. I'm like, wait, this is Metropolis, kind of, sort of.
What I've heard about the Tezuka...
Metropolis. Oh, Tezuka?
Yeah. Yeah. What I've heard about the Metropolis manga that he did was that he had just seen the poster for the movie.
Yeah.
And that he hadn't even seen the movie. I don't know if that's true.
Like, an entire manga series about it, and everyone loves it in Japan.
Yeah, exactly.
That is just, like, astounding.
Yeah, he's but a popular guy.
It was, like, what, 1950-something when he did that? And they were, like, they wouldn't take anything back then, so... But I can't imagine Osamu Tezuka Metropolis manga being bad or anything.
I actually have it, but I think it's, like, flipped.
Oh, really?
The American version.
Okay, I didn't know if we ever got it in America or not.
Yeah, we did. I don't remember who published it.
Dark Horse, I think.
Yeah, probably.
Was this back in the 90s or something? Or was this, like, the comic book format, or was this, like, the actual books?
It's, like, manga volume format.
Really?
Yeah.
I don't think I've ever seen that in manga format. I'll have to check that out if I ever catch it.
A lot of those older ones are kind of, you don't see them very often. Like, I don't see the Cyborg 009 manga very much. And when I do, it's almost always the first few volumes.
Okay. I think the Metropolis manga, it was like they only did like a few issues or something.
Yeah, it's
because not... like with Tezuka, like he's done like a ton of stuff, and they print out like a few manga or a few issues of each series, and then like for some reason, like they never continue the rest of the series. That's like pretty much most, if not all, of Tezuka's mangas.
I think it's. I assumed that it was the whole thing because it's just one volume, but.
Oh really? Okay.
But I know with Phoenix, there's like a ton of Phoenix. That's like one of his longest series.
Okay, yeah, I've heard of that.
But I haven't read any of that.
No, like I know that with Phoenix, Celebrity Just for Kids put that out on VHS, like the other anime stuff back in the 80s. I haven't seen it.
Check it out. I know there's a Phoenix that's by Rintaro, and then there's a Phoenix by Kaojiri. And those are both, like, from the 80s.
I think, I didn't know Kaojiri did a Phoenix, but I heard that Rintaro did the Tezuka anime manga. That sounds about right. I guess we should finish up this anime and we'll talk about different stuff, but...
Yeah.
Like, I don't know, like, what was it, like, apparently the soldiers show... Well, no, like, the main dude in this, like, he runs into the police, and then they get, like, the guy who gets shot is, like, one of the, like, the rebellion dudes, like, places a bomb in his pockets, and then the cops figure him out. And because apparently the guy's, like, scared or something, or he's out of his mind. And then, I don't know, like, but they find out that the rebels are downstairs, and then the priest who takes the bullet for the blind girl, but they wind up getting shot anyways, like, it's amazing how, like, uncoordinated these people are when it comes to genocides, because, like, they have a fair, but before the fair, they have to kill, like, 100, like, 1,000 people, like, you know, three stories down below the city. But if you, like, it's like if you happen to look over the balconies of, like, the part of the city and you look down, you're going to see bodies everywhere. So, like, wow, they must not have a cleanup crew, or they must have just taken the day off or something, because they just leave the bodies there. But it doesn't matter because, like, the blind girl fuses with the Genocyber, in which, like, the wolf girl and the sister come back, or the sister talks to the blind girl or something. And then, like, they fuse together, and they just, like, wreck up crap in the city. Like, it turns into one of, like, this Godzilla-sized, like, Genocyber, and wrecks the city. And then, like, apparently, through bullcrap reasons, the Geno Saber grants the blind girl life again. And then... Oh, no. Like, in the second one, like, blind girl says that, like, she's sick. And the priest is like, you must be possessed by the devil. And she's like, I'm pregnant!
Oh, that's right. Didn't he think she was, like, a prophet or something? And then...
And then she's like has like a mood swing, and the guy's like, "You must be possessed by the devil."
Yeah, it's one or the other for that guy.
Yeah, it's one extreme to the other. But then, like, it ends with them, like, for the Geno Saber giving the girl sight, life, and also their baby. And then it just ends with that, and the Geno Saber goes to space, to like the space colony for some reason, and. I don't even know, but it just ends that way. And that is Geno Saber, ladies and gentlemen.
Wait, the Geno Saber goes to space?
Yeah, in the very end, like, it goes to like that satellite colony or something. Like, it goes to the area, and then, like, you hear the video guy, like, repeat the same message over and over.
Oh. I do remember hearing that part.
Yeah, but then it was like, I didn't know if Geno Saber used their carbon freezing method or something, because everything turns gray. I think it was supposed to stop the satellite from blowing the Earth up or something. I don't know, dude.
Oh, really? Huh.
Man, it made no sense. It was like, this was all last night, and like my brain was fried after like the third episode, so.
And you've seen this like twice at least.
Yeah, this is the second time I've seen it, but like, the first time I saw it was a couple of years ago online, so.
Okay, well, is there anything else we have to say about this thing?
This is our Halloween special, by the way, so I'm going to consider it a Halloween special. I think it'll work.
Yeah.
Because our Halloween special last year was Vampire Hunter D Bloodlust, which, that was pretty good. Forgetful, kind of, but good.
Yeah, that was a good pick for Halloween.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Wasn't there some anime about cockroaches that they used to air on Cartoon Network? Do you know what I'm talking about?
Twilight of the Cockroaches?
Yeah, that thing. Have you ever seen that?
I've never seen it.
Yeah, we should do that sometime. That and maybe even Robot Carnival. They used to air that too.
Oh yeah, Robot Carnival's awesome.
Yeah.
Well, most of it is awesome. Like, there's one or two skits. It's like, I don't have to see it, so.
It's a pretty good compilation movie.
Yeah.
Well, I guess it's called Anthology, not Compilation, but whatever.
Yeah, it's one of those, like, they make, you know, other animators that were big in the 80s came together, animated their own stuff, and worked on something for, like, 5 or 10 minutes, and said, all right, here's our stuff, so.
Yeah.
And most of it is really good. Oh, man. I guess I'm going to put this out on Halloween, so I'll say Happy Halloween, guys. That's my final remark.
Okay. Happy Halloween. Yep.
Okay, I guess I'll be...
Actually, I would also like to mention, just if we're on final remarks right now, right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. I'd also like to mention that we are now back on Tune Radio.
Oh yeah.
I just thought that's worth mentioning. I don't know if Mason is showing the Cybernauts podcast next week. He just played the last two Cool Kids Club episodes that he hadn't.
The last one. So. The last one was the Av's trip to Anime Boston.
Yeah,
I think that
that was pretty much like his episode. Like, I like how he's like the ender of the Cool Kids Club officially. It was that episode.
I think that Mason's probably not going to start airing from the most recent episode. Do you? I mean,
He's probably going to play from like episode one of Cybernauts.
This will probably air like
this will air like
2013.
Yeah, sometime in June probably.
Did you calculate it?
No, I'm just guessing, because it's like, it'll probably be in like 6 months if he airs like the episodes and specials like mixed in.
I have this saved as episode 26 But I don't know how much of these Dustin has split up. It might
it's
be
It's
more
been
like...
about like 10 specials.
Yeah.
Yeah, we have 10 specials, and episode 17 of what I labeled it as was the Gina or the Cybernetics Guardian one.
Oh.
So this is really episode 28, kind of. So.
Okay, sure.
Yeah, you're actually right about that because, like, I think with don't quote me on this, but I'm pretty sure Tomb Raider is going to shut down at some point and then re-air back. So by the time the summer airs, this episode will be out on that station.
Yeah, it might be gone again by then.
Yeah, who knows?
He doesn't have a job.
I thought he was working again.
Well, he submits freelance articles to Yahoo News, and they publish his articles about science and stuff, but I don't think he gets paid much.
He probably gets paid about as much as he gets paid with Tune Radio, about 10 cents every 5 years.
I thought the answer to that was, like, nothing.
Oh, and he is also he's also a ghostwriter for science magazines, where he, like, writes articles for them, and then they publish it under someone else's name, because no one wants to read anything by him. I'm sorry, Mason. I know you'll slayer this guy.
Oh, I gotta give him an apology.
I think we've probably said worse about him on his own channel.
I thought our deal with him was, like, if he was gonna put our episodes on Tune Radio, like, yeah, he would have to pay us for it, but it's like... Even if he agrees to it, he's still going to do it anyway, so it's like, we can't stop him.
If we make him pay, then Tune Radio is going to go dead even quicker, because he has barely any money.
Yeah, it's like, this comes in the terms of, like, you know, do we have the heart to take anything from him? But it's like, there's really nothing much to take from him.
Didn't we already siphon off, like, $50 a month from him just from hosting our episodes?
Yeah, that's the reason Tune Radio got shut down, I think. Probably because he was paying so much.
We killed it.
Yeah, we did.
Well,
we
paid all this server space for our podcasting. Like, he didn't have to do it.
That's why Viku thought it was so funny, is because we killed Tune Radio with our podcast, which was kind of the goal, in a way.
It was... I consider it unintentional because I didn't know about that grandmaster plan to shut Tune Radio down.
Well, it wasn't really. I don't think we were that ambitious. The main thing we were thinking is just, can we get this guy to air literally anything? Like, some people with absolutely no podcast experience, he's just going to put it on. And he did. And he
kept us on for like a solid year.
Yeah, and he like charged more for advertising during our show, and he was like, very supportive, but I don't know why.
Well, what was that one thing where, like, he was going to post on Tune Zone, but it was, like, through Osmosis he was going to get funding or something?
Oh, yeah, that was amazing.
That's what Josh explained. He was just like, all right, I'm going to post stuff on there, but then I'm not going to mention the podcast,
oh,
but it's
going
to help you guys promote it. I'm like, what?
Yeah, he was asking us to write up articles for, like, random series, and for some reason... Despite not mentioning the podcast by name at all, it would redirect people to listen to our podcast.
Yeah, he thought that we were going to get like our names out there by being published on TuneZone, and that people are going to research us and see like what else is John Johns in. But like that's such a generic name, you know? They're going to get stuff about the Martian Manhunter. They're not going to find our podcast. And they're going to look up Vmon, and they're going to find, like, Digimon stuff, you know? It's not going to help them.
They're going to find Xeonic Freak and then find, like, the PS2 Xeonic Front game or something. Or, like, my old website from FreeWebs or something stupid.
FreeWebs.
So, man, even if he puts this on his website, I don't really care. It's just like, okay, I mean, we can't take anything from you because you don't have anything. But it's like he's... But if he wants us to keep it under an hour, it's like, no, we're going to go as long as we want to because this is our podcast.
Well, he was never very vigilant about that. Geek Night started late almost every week after we started our podcast.
Yeah, and I don't ever listen to Geek Nights anyways because I just don't like those dudes.
Did Geek Nights even know that Mason was playing their show?
Probably not.
I know they don't know.
He might have asked them like once, and they probably said okay, and then like immediately forgot.
Yeah. But has he been like he's been airing their episodes for like what 3 years or something?
Yeah, probably. And then there was the guy who lived in the Yogi Bear house. Do you guys remember that guy?
Yeah.
He like reformatted his house in New York and like made it look like Yogi Bear's house. And
I did not know this.
And this guy hosted a cartoon podcast for Mason. And it is, like, some of the weirdest stuff I ever heard. It was, like...
Wait, is it the guy, like, there's an ad on his webpage about, like, Bev something?
Yes.
Podcast. Joe That's Bev. The guy?
Joe Bev of Benola or something weird.
Oh, my gosh.
He claims to have the oldest podcast on Earth or something weird like that. Or the oldest cartoon podcast or something. But, yeah.
Wow.
His podcast is mostly, like... he plays, like, old cartoons, but he plays, like, 5 minutes of it each week, and he tries to make, like, a random Jetsons episode, for instance, into a serial by playing random bits of it each week, and it's, like, really strange. And then there were, like, audio dramas that he recorded, too, that involved cartoon characters, and it's really strange.
What?
Yes.
I thought it was. I figured like when he said that he'd do like audio commentary on like the episodes. Like, okay, this happens in this episode number 1-8 something something of the Jetsons.
No,
I guess not.
He would play like actual clips from the episodes, and then he would also record these things that it's almost like a children's story or something, but it was like also serialized and. It involved, like, French people swimming or something. I don't know. It was weird. There was some pretty strange programming on Toon Radio. I can see why he regarded us so highly. It's not like the other stuff was any good.
Well, what was those other people that was part of Toon Radio that we knew? Wasn't it, like, Cheddar and Yash or something? They had, like, their own, like, Notaku Diaries podcast.
Yeah.
And, like, they basically just left.
Yeah, well, we had, like, sort of a podcast war with the Notaku Diaries, because we demanded their time slot from Mason as a term of our signing on with Toon Radio, and he took it from them. And
he completely dropped them, too, like, and then, like, he made, like, a YouTube update about it.
Well, sometimes,
and like, he devoted all of his resources to the Cool Kids Club.
Sometimes they would have zero. Sometimes they would have zero listeners. So that's why I think that he got rid of them. And also, there was the time that we I don't know if we recorded it, but we were on a Skype call with those guys one time, and. I invited Mason in there, and they were bad-mouthing Mason, and they didn't realize that he was there, and so they kept saying, like, we should leave Toon Radio, it's kind of a small station, it doesn't get us anything, and Mason was, like, right there, and then they figured it out, and,
or left anyway.
And Ted Nutt started yelling in all caps, "Get Mason out of here, right now!"
Oh, what was it? I think like my first episode, it was like episode 3 or 4 or something. Like the one I talked about.
And then Mason said to fire game. Ruth.
What?
And then Mason said to fire Toon Ruthless. He told them to fire him from the podcast in that call. Anyway, what was your first episode?
My first episode, like when I talked about Parasite Eve, the PSP game, and like we had, I think we might have had Toon Ruthless on there, and I was just like, yeah, those jerks, and the guy's like, you can't be talking about my podcast, and Vika's like, well, which, like, you got to pledge your allegiance to one or the other,
oh,
or
yeah.
Something like that.
Yeah, because he was on both our podcasts at one point.
Playing both ends of the fence.
Yeah, but then he got mad because we were reviewing Evangelion, and the reason was because it had his name, Evan, in it. And so he was saying,
what?
You should just call it Gellion, because I don't want to be associated with this. Do you remember this?
I vaguely remember that, yeah.
Because there's even an image that Viku made making fun of this that I'm going to upload on Image Shack.
Oh, please, yeah, share that with us. Man, we know some dumb people on the internet, I swear.
Yeah. That's,
wait, I know Death kept saying we owe What's-His-Face an interview on our podcast. The
Peter Network?
Yeah, Peter Network, that guy.
We've owed him an interview for, like, since the podcast started. But the only times we've gotten on Skype with that guy, he's been very rude to us.
What does he say to you guys?
Well, he doesn't say anything. He gets on the telephone with somebody and doesn't mute his mic. He's a jerk. he had like a 30-minute conversation with some person about theme parks on the phone. And he was, like, going on about the new Disney rides, and he just, like, had no concern for the fact that he was on a Skype call with us.
Wait, did he have, like, his headset on and then had, like, the phone next to his headset at the same time?
I think so.
Oh, my gosh.
Just totally oblivious. It was amazing. And he didn't just do this once. He did it, like, two or three times. And so that's why we didn't ever...
None of this is recorded, obviously, right?
What'd you say?
I said, is any of this recorded?
Oh, yeah. All of it.
I would like to hear that. we need to get Daft on here again. Like, if we want to talk about something. Like, I mentioned that we should review Black Dynamite.
I talked to him, and he said that he can record Sunday night.
Did he say, like, exactly what time... Because there's never telling with him.
He might have, but I don't remember.
Are you still recording the call? Are we still in, like, final remarks or whatever?
Yeah, we are. I don't have one, though.
All right, well, we should just shut this down and we'll keep talking.
Okay. Tune in next week for Golgo 13 Queen Bee, I think.
Yes. Yeah, we got to do that. Mission complete. Thanks for tuning in to this week's episode of the Cybernauts Cast. Do you want more of what we got? If so, check us out over at our website at cybernautscast.wordpress.com. If you wish to leave us an email on, well, anything, then shoot one over at cybernautscast@gmail.com. Check us out on iTunes and leave a review, why don't you? We'll see you next week, same Cybernauts time, same Cybernauts channel.